1977, or just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. The time is 9:59. Coming up at 10:15, we'll hear Flashpoints, Investigative News Journalism with host Dennis Bernstein. Today we'll hear from farm workers protesting for better pesticide regulations. Plus, we'll check on the oil pipeline spill in Santa Barbara. And finally, we'll hear about the latest in mass surveillance by government spooks. At 11, it's Stage and Studio with host Dime Roberts. Today's guests are the Artistic Director for Artist Repertory Theater, Damaso Rodriguez, where the new French farce, The Liar, opens tonight. Plus, we'll speak with Adriana Baer, Artistic Director at Profile Theater, who opens Sarah Rule's play, In the Next Room, or the Vibrator Play, next week. And at 11:30, we'll hear Art Focus with host Joseph Gallivan. Today's guest is Portland-based artist R.V. Smith, who is showing his work at Mark Woolley Gallery this month. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this announcement.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor for ALEC Expo's film screening and workshop on June 18th. 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. ALEC, the American Legislators Exchange Council, is a corporate-directed organization which writes model legislation for state legislatures around the nation that is beneficial to multinational corporations. Secretive corporate-directed and funded organizations like ALEC undermine the principles of citizens participating in democratic processes. ALEC Expos explain how ALEC functions, who is involved, and how to fight back to promote democratic, non-corporate values. Again, that's ALEC Expos, June 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church on Southwest 12th and Salmon in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
In Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is one of our regulars, and we are very, very happy to welcome back Steve Horn with the DeSmog blog. He'll be joining us today to talk about a 3-0 vote. The U.S. Appeals Court for the 10th Circuit has ruled that the southern leg of TransCanada's Keystone XL pipeline was permitted in a lawful manner by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Keystone XL South was approved by a controversial Army Corps nationwide Permit 12. Permit 12 should be looked into in greater detail than they have in the past. Many of these instruments that are used by the Army Corps of Engineers and other agencies were smoldered in the background for a long time. These things are on the books, but had rarely been invoked. And now, because of increasing public discomfort with the pipelines and the exploding oil trains and so forth, leaks, spills, fires, and all manner of catastrophic events, these types of instruments, such as Permit 12, are being resuscitated and brought out into the light of day. They're pretty ugly and have remained in the shadows for just that reason. But now with the Keystone XL South being, which was approved We have to take a closer look at some of what goes on while we're sleeping. So the one great place to find out these kinds of things is the DeSmog blog. That's why we're going to be speaking with Steve today. Just before we get into that, however, three residents of Denton, Texas were arrested yesterday morning enforcing the city's ordinance. Yeah, that's right. You got that right. They were enforcing the city's ordinance to ban hydraulic fracturing. The city has an ordinance. Denton has an ordinance, no fracking. And three residents apparently were arrested simply defending the law. The AP reports that 8 days after blocking it, Senate Republicans have agreed to begin debate. Okay, we're still in, it's still in play. But at least people are hearing the words Patriot Act. We're hearing the words national security. And not just on the fringes or the left, even slightly left of center. Now, these issues have emerged in center court. And it is extremely odd that public opinion on the NSA spying, a year ago, it was approximately 66% opposed the NSA spying. And now this time around, the polling shows that 33% oppose it. In other words, the opposition has dropped dramatically, which makes one, which would lead one to go take a look at the way the polling questions were phrased, because that makes all the difference in the world. Not demographics, not socioeconomics, none of that. What it's all about is the way the questions are written. Pay careful and close attention to that, because the polls come out and it sways public opinion heavily in the direction of whatever the majority says, because we are a nation of sheep. And in Seattle, Washington, an activist climbed to the top of an excavator and stopped construction on the site of the proposed animal research and care facility at the University of Washington. He is, let me see, I cannot find a name for you just now, but you'll certainly want to be supporting the activist. And we'll put that up on the KBOO website for you. Now, tribes, fisherfolk, and others are launching a kayak protest against Navy plans in Alaska. Nutshell, this is a different issue, but nonetheless, tribal leaders, commercial fishermen protesting against military exercises planned for the Gulf of Alaska. This coming today on the East Coast. National, environmental, and tribal leaders are discussing upcoming tar sands. There is a resistance march today. Bill McKibben will be there. Tribal leaders will be there. Tom Goldtooth, executive director of the Indigenous Environmental Network, and others are going to be on site. In addition to this, is a huge march action effort. And tomorrow, Wednesday, June 3rd, activists with Honor the Earth plan to rally outside the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission office. More on that later for you. And now we thank you so much, Steve, for being patient. These stories, brief headlines, all are part and parcel of the same issue. It's getting very late for planet Earth and her defenders. And I want to welcome you back to the KBOO airwaves this morning. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
And once again, it's the DeSmog blog. Have a look at it. That's where I find a lot of these stories. So this Keystone XL South, can you clarify what happened and what Permit 12 is, and why the Army Corps, in its infinite wisdom, saw fit to invoke this instrument?
Yeah, well, in 2011, in 2011, people remember that the tar sands action began where hundreds of activists got arrested in front of the White House in a two-week action. So maybe some days 100, some days a few dozen, but in total, hundreds got arrested. I think it was over 1,000 got arrested by the time everything was said and done. That was also around the time, so that was around Labor Day of 2011 when election season was really picking up, and the eventual race between President Obama and the GOP nominee at the time, Mitt Romney, began not too long after that. And so what the Obama administration decided to do in 2012 was, in the midst of this Keystone XL debate, is say, well, you know, we're not going to make a politically controversial decision, at least one that would favor the climate. What we're going to do is actually, we're going to pretend that we care about the climate. We're going to say that we need more time to decide on Keystone XL, the border crossing half of it that goes from Alberta down to Cushing, Oklahoma. We're going to kick the can down the road on that until after the election. At the same time, in March 2012, he gave this big speech in Cushing, Oklahoma, that some will remember, where he stood in front of the pipes that are now part of the southern half of the Keystone XL pipeline. And he signed an executive order. And on top of that executive order, he needed something with more legal teeth, because an executive order doesn't have teeth. It's something that, you know, agencies need to do something on top of that order. So what agency was chosen was the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So the executive order said, let's expedite the building of the southern leg of the Keystone XL. And the Army Corps of Engineers is the one that was chosen to do that. The instrument they used, the law they used, was the Nationwide Permit 12. And that Nationwide Permit 12 basically split up the pipeline into thousands of single and complete pieces. It's usually only used for small infrastructure projects, half an acre in size or smaller. So that's why I needed to do that. And it was just a clever way of usurping, at least what the environmental groups argued in this case that I wrote about, a clever way of usurping the National Environmental Policy Act, which is a law that's meant to have public hearings. It allows public hearings, public commenting for U.S. federal agencies like EPA or Department of Interior, other agencies like that. So,
and Permit 12
was the instrument, yeah. And so
it doesn't allow any input whatsoever.
Zero input, zero transparency in terms of how the Army Corps came to its decision. I mean, the most that people could see is that they finally wrote a 50-page document saying why it should be approved, but it's far less, that's way shorter than what a normal NEPA document would look like. National Environmental Policy Act document would be hundreds of pages, and that's not to say that this is that's not a process that can get corrupted, but it is a way of saying that the new approach, and this case is not unique, the new approach for these tar sands pipelines in the United States under the Obama administration since Keystone XL debate has began, or since it began in 2011 really in a big time way, is NEPA free, so that the public doesn't really get involved. There aren't public hearings. There aren't basically there's no democracy involved in the approval of these pipelines, to be frank. And so this case was important because it was one of the big test cases of, can you approve a big pipeline like this without going through this more democratic NEPA process? And what, you know, for the second time now, because the other pipeline that the Army Corps did this with was Enbridge's Flanagan South tar sands pipeline, which is another major multi-state pipeline that carries tar sands. But what they said is that they basically blame the environmental groups for not raising the concerns earlier on, and says, this is a big issue for you. You should have raised it on during the quote-unquote commenting period. The funny thing about that logic by the judges is that there was no commenting period. That's the whole point of this new approach. And so the judges basically defied logic in their ruling. And so this is where it stands. Right now we have two big test cases where big oil companies in conspiracy with the U.S. government have been allowed to usurp the normal approval process for these projects that, of course, have huge climate change impacts, huge ecological environmental impacts, and there's not even any, there's been basically no public review of any of these impacts, at least insofar as the U.S. government's involvement goes. And there's a third case, I'll close by saying, a really important third case that's happening right now in the U.S. District Court in Minnesota around another pipeline called the Alberta Clipper, where something similar, a little more complex, but basically the same principles are involved, where there was no National Environmental Policy Act
And there's a huge action.
We're looking at a new normal being established.
Yes, that's exactly it. It is. This is a new normal. They don't like the laws. The laws are inconvenient present obstacles to the corporate plans. Well, we'll just get rid of it. We're pretty much out of time. We should mention, too, of course, there's going to be the largest, anti-tar sands event ever to take place in the Midwest, in St. Paul,
exactly.
On June 6th, and I believe tomorrow. There's a protest is happening on the 3rd, Activists with Honor.
Yeah, well, that Midwest one, really quickly, that is mostly centering around the 3rd case. So I was talking about the U.S. District Court case in the District of Minnesota for the Alberta Clipper, where it's another test case of NEPA. And so we've seen two losses right now in a U.S. appeals court for flooding in South. Now, this most recent one I wrote about for the Keystone XL Southern Leg, but there's still another, it's not, you know, completely dead issue. It's still alive and well right now in this U.S. District Court in Minnesota. And so the action is sort of a kickoff to, there'll be oral arguments in that case in September. So this is just kind of a summer of, I feel like it'll probably be a summer of action right now around a lot of stuff going on in the Midwest right now for tar sands pipelines.
And it is Smog Blog. I just want to let listeners know it's a great place to keep track of this and get more detail and depth. This has been, I want to thank my guest, Steve Horn with the Smog Blog once again. He's so generous with his time and research and intelligence. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
And this has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. Well, we have been reporting on...